Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The law is really a good thing. However, how many of you ever broke a law? And I don't mean just a civil law. I mean you broke one of God's laws. And I don't mean just the Ten Commandments. I mean that things in the Scripture that say, you know, if you know to do good and don't do it, it is sin. Ooh. So how many of you have ever broke the law or sinned? Hold them up. This is your moment of confession. I know we're not supposed to compare to one another, but look around. There's a few hands in the place. We've broken the law. See, the law was supposed to be the standard that we would look at and say, okay, I understand it, and now I will live to that standard. But the problem with it was the problem was not with the law, it's just that what made the law weak is us. We made it weak because we couldn't live up to its standard. We couldn't obey it. Where there's places where we obey, let's face it, some of you in this room, certain laws don't even affect you because you're just going to live that way. But there's other laws that you look at and go, well, I don't really agree with it, or, well, I've got my own idea, or it's not really a big deal law, or I just don't feel like it, or I've got the right, I've got the exception to the rule. Somebody did something to me, so I've got the license to, and we go through those things. So really, our sinful nature really made the law weak. And so the consequences of that is that we separate ourselves from God. Well, God saw this, and he said, I have an answer. They need to know the law, and they need to come to, people need to come to a recognition that they in themselves, because of the sin and the sinful nature, they cannot live up to the holiness and the standard of God. We fall short. The Scripture says we all fall short, right, of the glory of the Lord, the glory of God. And so God said, I'm going to take care of this problem. I'm going to make a way for them. And it was not to remove the law. It was to have the law fulfilled and for an empowerment to come into our lives that is beyond ourselves. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross as payment for our sins, falling short of the law, so that we could be at peace with God and we could be delivered from the consequences of our sin. And not only that, it's that we could be empowered now with Christ in our life, him living in us, that through him we can actually live up to the law. And where we fall short, there is a grace that is dispersed to us, and we can apply that goodness and grace to our life through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the verse is talking about. There's the law. It was weakened because of us. So God sent his only Son, who was perfect, understands the temptations, the weakness of the flesh, but overcame. And so his blood was pure to pay for our sins. That's what the Scripture is talking about. How many of you know about the weakness of the flesh? You acquainted with it? And I don't mean just, you know, if you're not real close to God. I mean all of us in this room, some who you've walked with the Lord a long time, you've done a lot of growing, you've gone through a lot of transformation, you've gone through a lot of change with the help of the Lord. Do you know what the weakness of the flesh? I'll tell you what, this last week, I'm going to tell you about a moment I had. And it was another revelation of just, Randy, you're weak. Some of you are getting nervous, aren't you? Don't worry, you'll have your turn. No, I'm kidding. It was a day I was coming through Onalaska, and I come to this four-way stop. It's on, I think, Theater Road, and is it PH1? It's kind of by the McDonald's, and it's the road just off of 16, kind of to the north. You know what I'm talking about? It's just down from Target and McDonald's. There's that four-way stop, right? And there were a couple vehicles who were kind of looking north and south who were already at the stop sign. I'm coming from the west. I come to a stop, waiting my turn. They're going. It's just a normal moment. No big deal. Normal moment. And it was my turn. And so I began to proceed. And I was taking a left-hand turn. See, the reason that you're thinking, well, that's not really the way back to Sparta. Well, see, on the way back from meeting someone over there, I figured, you know, I'm close to Golf headquarters. I might as well just stop in. So I begin to proceed. And coming from the Target direction, this vehicle comes up to the stop sign, kind of touches its brakes barely, and then accelerates and comes and whips around deep through the turn of the intersection and heads out towards 16. And normally, you know, this stuff happens to all of us. Somebody's, you know, driving like this, and normally it's just like, no big deal. I'm not a road rage guy. I'm just not. Okay? But I had to hit my brakes abruptly. Like, whoa. And I look out the windshield, and I'm like, you know, this expression of, what are you doing? You know? And same expression some of you would get. Some of you who are really super holy, you'd have just, you know, I love you. You know? But the thing is, as I hit the brakes like this, and he, like this, he waves at me. Without some fingers. Not to be inappropriate at church, but you're getting the point. At that moment, the first time in a long time, I mean, something rose up in me. I mean, I went from initially to, hey, this guy's got to be careful, he's going to hurt somebody. I did have that thought. That was kind of a nice holy thought. I'll share that one with you. Or he's going to hurt himself. But when I recognized he was waving at me, and listen, yeah, people have done that to all of us. You just kind of, yeah, whatever. For whatever reason, I hit the brakes, and as I was going to be going left, I checked my mirror, and I turned right. And then, Alex, this is your pastor. I'm sorry to confess this to you. I said within myself, I said, not today. I turn, and he gets into the right lane, and I see that the left lane, the straight lane to the mall, he stopped, and the traffic is at the point where I can stop next to him. And as I'm turning to go up next to him, I know the Lord is speaking to me. Oh, he's speaking to me. I mean, he's bringing verses that I haven't thought of, like from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4, that says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will become like him. Well, this is all happening in like that. You know, boom, wave, turn, scripture. And I'm next to the guy. I put my passenger window down. His window's up, slouched in his seat. Back window's down, so I know he can hear me. I put the window on. I said, what's the problem? Oh, he went off. He said things that I will not say, or that words that I'm not even sure I understood. Light changed. I can't proceed. He goes right. And I'm telling you, Pat, I'm sorry. I'm confessing in front of the whole church. There's a part of me that wanted things went through my mind. I thought, what are you doing, Randy? Now, I did not follow him, and I want you to know I had the opportunity. There was a little break in the right lane. I could have cut over and followed this guy to a parking lot. And I thought, Randy, I did. I got grieved inside. I'm telling you the truth. I got grieved. I got sad. Not for him, for me. I thought, what in the world has got into you today? I mean, and then I'm going through this, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Last thing I want to do is get into a fight, but at that moment, I wanted to. Doug, I'm sorry. Here it is. Some of you may never come back to church and own the pastor was this week. I'm telling you, it was a moment where my flesh, I had no compassion towards him. You know, I understand, hey, I'm in a hurry, I got to get to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the stuff he yelled out his window was like, blank, 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 and all drivers. And I'm thinking, okay, this wasn't just me, this wasn't me going out of turn, this guy's just bent. I started to think, Lord, thanks for reminding me how weak I am. That the flesh can just creep in. I mean, I can see the headlines. Pastor goes to jail. You know, pummels a young adult guy. Wife and kids now destitute, you know. I mean, these headlines were just, I'm like, oh, what am I doing? Why would I even turn and follow this guy? Why would I even let it upset me? Why? I mean, it's different if he was coming after my family or damaging things and doing, you know, that's a different deal. But this guy just was being who he is. I thought, why in the world would that get me today? So if you see me driving out in the community, and if I'm in the blue Toyota, it's kind of hard to miss, you'll know it's me. Of course, there's another one in town, but it doesn't have the roof rack, so if it's parked outside somewhere it shouldn't be, it's not me. I just spent some time in repentance. I just thought, why would I do that? Why would I do that? That's not the way to conduct yourself. And I had to go through this. I had to really analyze myself. And maybe I took it a little deeper than I should have. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it with the Lord. But it was like, did you not go any further because you're a pastor and you represent a church? If you weren't a pastor and you're this Christian person, would you have followed him further? See, because I carry the weight of God's name in this church, you. And I started to think, well, did I do it because of that? Did I do it because I'm concerned for my family? Or did I not do this because I responded to your conviction? Ah, see? I'm so thankful for his word. And by the way, just a side note, he could not drop Proverbs 26, verse 4, into my memory if I didn't read it. You want to grow in conviction and understand and know who he is? You have got to read his word so that he can bring it to you in a moment where you are ready to turn the wheel the wrong way. By the way, did I mention he was a really big guy and I could have... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He was about, you know, no. we've got to be in His Word so that He can drop these things into our life at strategic moments where our flesh rises. I mean, I've had stuff like that happen before, and it's just like, yeah, whatever. Why am I going to let that take up space in me? Why it happened that moment out of what I would call the blue, because it's not a natural pattern for me, okay? In the sense that it's a normal pattern. It's constantly happening. I always have to fight it. It just, and I was reminded how weak I am. I hope you're not offended at the story and think, oh boy, I got to fast and pray more for the pastor. Please do. You go ahead. You take it that way, just go ahead. I'm just opening up my life to you and just saying, you know what? I was reminded about this. Now, outwardly, I didn't break a law. Didn't break a law. Inwardly, I broke a law. I responded with a flesh response. I'm so glad that the flesh response didn't turn into some physical manifestation here in this life. But boy, it was a lesson to me. And then God always, for some reason, takes it a little further with me and says, now this is how I spoke wisdom to you. This is how I gave you warning, Randy. And this is how I'm responding to you, making it right with me. See, all of this just happened within me and within my vehicle. It was nobody else's business. I'm making this your business. And then God takes it one step and He says, now, what you've learned from me today, will you deal like this with your children? Sow good seeds from this moment in the spirit, even moments that they wouldn't see. Because, frankly, this is the first time I told the story. My family doesn't even know. Well, Brittany does now, and Justin. It was just something that was between me and the Lord. And I was reminded that there are these laws of God, these convictions of God, the character of God that is supposed to be in my life. And my flesh is so weak. I am so grateful that the Lord, that Paul wrote what the Lord spoke to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that says, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. What it means is this, that we understand and are aware of our weakness and allow the opportunity for Christ to come into us and strengthen us that we can deal with all things in this life like Jesus would deal with it. That in the moment, whatever the moment is for you, with the flesh in the sense of temptation or flesh rising up or some response or whatever it is, that God's grace is sufficient, willing to forgive, willing to do that. But that doesn't end there. It's that His strength, His perfectness can be manifested in our life, that now we can be like Him. Even though we still have our same name, our same responsibilities in life, it's the virtue and the character and the fragrance of God that can be manifested in who we really are, even when we're alone or we have an audience. Our flesh is so weak. I don't know what you carry with you. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know how you live. I don't know what's got your, I don't know, dander up, got your goat, whatever's ticking you off, something's got, that you're giving room to that really you can just let go of. I mean, why let it take up space in you? Now, if it's something that you do need to deal with, then we need the character of Christ to come into us. Let His grace be sufficient, humble us enough, soften us enough, that we're willing to allow Him to live in us and through us. Our flesh is so weak in so many ways. You know, Pastor Jake has gone with about a handful of young men from our youth ministry who are part of the student leadership team, okay? Five guys and Pastor Jake, and they left on Friday, Tom? Friday? Thanks, Jim. Friday. And they're supposed to get picked up tomorrow late afternoon, 3 o'clock, late afternoon-ish. They got dropped off in Black River Falls, and they are in kayaks and canoes coming down the Black River, and they're going to go just a little past Melrose and get picked up on Monday. So they travel for a few hours or so, set up camp somewhere on the Black River, and here was the idea. It was a little bit of a survival trip. In other words, on the list of things to bring, you know, Pastor Jake made a list of things to bring, and, you know, on the list was a candy bar. We are going to fish and survive and live off the land. You know some of these boys. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? I know these guys. You're going to take and do a survival trip with them? Well, the first little outing that day wasn't bad. They caught 5 small fish. None of them had the faith to break it and feed the crowd, I'll just tell you that. I got a couple text messages because it was random. Capsized my kayak, lost some gear. Okay. Boys are doing okay. I'm thinking about this overnight. And just kind of surmising the guys in the group. Now, Pastor Jake, he's an outdoor guy, okay? I mean, he can, you know, he can go and take off with minimal gear and make it, okay? But these are 5 teenage boys who survival for them is to go to the fridge anytime they want, okay? Mommy makes my bed. She does half my homework. If there's a problem, Dad solves it, okay? That's not a criticism to these guys. They just got it really good. And they go off to a little survival trip down the Black River, like this is a huge survival trip in the middle of, you know, Canadian forest somewhere. I've done those. And I know what it takes, because I've done it up there in the lost wilderness. But I'm thinking, I don't know. And my wife's concerned, of course, just mom being mom, you know. But I'm kind of thinking, gee, you know, Black River, they're going to live off fish and a candy bar for 3.5 days. I don't know. So I start praying about this, and I know that I should probably deliver a new fishing rod and reel, not a new one, but out of my supply, to my son. I need to bring one to him. No, it's not because he didn't bring one. It needs to be replaced. And it's okay. It's just stuff like that happens to all of us. I took a guy fishing one time up in the Boundary Waters. He stood on the back of this boat, and I thought, because he really doesn't like to fish, and it's right, but I just like the guy. I gave him one of my best setups, and he did it like this on the first cast. Okay, great. And he forgot to hang on to it. The whole rod and reel, he just threw it. It's like he took it and just threw it in the water. I just went, you okay, bud? Yeah, you got a little, you know, you functioning okay? It was gone. I thought I could deliver this fishing rod. I pulled out the map on the Black River. I'm looking at how far they potentially traveled, where they're going to be, where they're going to end up. And I, honestly, I'm just starting to pray about this. I told Sue, I said, I'm going to go find those boys. I'm going to go find them. Now, I don't have another watercraft to put in there. That would have been easy. You know, drop in down and paddle up until you find them, right? Takes you all day, it takes you all day. Well, we only have one kayak, and Sonny Boy's got it. And I ain't swimming. So I decide to take off. Kind of looking at where they're going to be. I sent the text message to Jake, but he never got it because they have their phone off. He sends one text a night kind of thing. And I thought, you know, and I drove along the river the best I could. I got a glimpse of the river now and then coming out of Melrose and heading back towards Black River and Black River Falls. And just didn't really see them, anybody. Got a glimpse once and backed up and it wasn't them. And I said, I'm going to Irving. Is it Irving? Not Irvine, Irving. I said, I'm going to Irving. So I went up and never been there before and driven past it but a few years back, but pulled in. And I'm making a turn and I see this little bridge and I think, you know, I'm going to go this way. Went this way and I found this spot and I forget the name of it. It's named after some guy in Memorial Landing or something. It's just a little gravel road with a turnaround. You can't even park in there and get out. Well, I pull in there and I'm just hoping, Lord, oh, by the way, I did stop at the Quick Trip before I left and grabbed a dozen glazers. You know what glazers are? Some of you laughed. Yeah, they're donuts that are glazed. I thought, yeah, these boys are going to need something. So I pull up, I get out of my vehicle, I walk around to the other side to get towards the landing, and I'm still up in the woods, and as I get out and walk around, I see this canoe coming. Now, I know in our group there was one canoe, and there were two guys in it, and then right behind them was a kayak I recognized, and a couple more kayaks. I stood there on the edge of the woods at this place. They couldn't really see me real well. I just yelled, Brock, you know, my son's name, yelled at once. A guy in the canoe, which I now identified as Hunter Costello, I yelled Brock. His arms, Hunter Costello's arms went up into the air and went, Pastor Randy! I mean, there was this yell out of him like, honest, I'm not kidding. The way he made me feel like I just came down in a whirlwind from heaven as an angel to do some miracle for them. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. It was like when I pulled in and stopped, walked around the vehicle, took a few steps and saw them, I don't know if it was 15 seconds. Now, they could have been anywhere on that river. I just prayed, Lord, just you got to get me to the right spot. I mean, I didn't even have to wait. Here comes the boys, Hunter Costello, ready to jump out of the canoe and walk on water to get to me. And then my son sees me, and he's paddling over, and he kind of parked the kayak, and he's coming up the landing area, and he's kind of looking at me like, what are you doing here? Please tell me you didn't come to take me home, you know, because I lost a fishing pole. And I said, no, I brought you a new fishing pole. Listen, first things first. I walked over to the vehicle, and I took the glazers out and popped them on the hood of the Toyota. Come get glazers, boys. I said, Jay Corey, sorry, I know this isn't part of the code of survival here, but I know these guys. The glazers disappeared. I mean, it was box open, gone. No wasted icing, nothing. Talked to Pastor Jake, and he's like, yeah, man, this is not good. We caught a few fish the first night. He said, I went without eating just so they could have another, you know. I mean, six guys, five teenage boys, five little fish. You think they're, come on. They caught them at the beginning. I talked to Brock. I said, hey, is the morale kind of low? He's like, Yeah. This morning, he said, we're so hungry. Hunter didn't sleep all night. The other guys froze. They camp on a sandbar. Now, in the day, it's really hot, but do you know how cold sand gets at night? And they're laying on this. Okay? They're kind of roughing it. Tough guys leaving for survival trip down the Black River. I had a few bananas in my vehicle. I said, hey, you guys want bananas? They were gone. Hunter Costello says, listen, I've got money. I will pay you. Will you please go to the store? And he starts rattling off things like, get me Doritos, get me, you know. This. I mean, he says to me, I'm not even kidding. I said, you are not getting Doritos. And I know it's a bit of a survival trip. I talked to Pastor Jake, him and I ran into Melrose. So thankful for that gas station there. So there's six of them, and I bought 12 sandwiches. I did not buy, like, junk food Doritos. This is not what the boys need. Okay, bought 12 sandwiches. They each get two packs of hot dogs, bun, ketchup, mustard, and two kielbasa rings that they could snack on to get them through. Because they can have the sandwiches now. They ate the hot dogs last night, and today they're sharing kielbasa. Because they are not catching any fish. Well, if the Black River, up by Black River Falls, there's a lot of rocks and structure where you're going to catch fish. But as you go down, further down, it's all sand. I don't know that there's much for fish the rest of that part at this time. They're not catching anything. They're starving. I talked to Jake. I said, how are the guys doing? Well, there's a little bit of whining and complaining. You know. Pastor Jake's doing good. But I'll tell you what, we brought back that food. I stayed there for, you know, maybe 10 minutes. After about 5 minutes of them, like, inhaling this stuff, all the morale picked up. They were happy. And it was a reminder to me again of how weak our flesh is. How weak, just in the natural part. It's interesting that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, that whole where the Lord speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, our weakness makes opportunity for God to show himself and for us to be transformed and live like him. And then Paul goes on to write in the next verse, he says, so I will be content in weakness, in hardship, calamity. I will be content in these things that I cannot do on my own. I will be content in God's grace being manifested in my life. Learning when to put forth all the effort we can, and then where effort runs into its limitation, to say, now I need you to take over in me. See, that's what communion was kind of about. It was really Passover. And Passover, part of the Passover, the big Passover that they would share, was the remembering of how their forefathers, Israel, were in slavery in Egypt. And God delivered them and took them out and took them through the, you know, those times and on through the wilderness to the promised land. But that Passover was a remembrance of that track, that journey of how God brought them out from an outside oppressor, Egypt. Jesus made Passover into communion because communion is similar but different. Communion, communion isn't just about winning victory over an outside oppressor or someone coming after it, some external. It's about this grace that's sufficient that can live in us and that he helps us overcome the internal oppressor, our flesh, our attitude. See, communion took it to a new level. He died for the forgiveness of our sins and that he could live in us. That we can overcome us. That we can die to self. That we can walk through this life and identify what should take up room in me and what shouldn't. With the reminder of where my limitations are and where are we weak. I had a couple reminders this week. One was through the life of some other guys where I got the privilege of, you know, playing angel from heaven. The other was, out of the blue, something rise in me. And I thought, hey, what in the world? Where did that come from? I can tell you where it came from. It came from within me. And if it came and I felt it rise in here, that means it's in me. And it needs to get out. And we need to make room for the Lord. And so, communion isn't just about gaining heaven and being free from the devil. It's about being free from sin, forgiven and free, and being able to conquer ourselves, that we can live according to Christ because he lives in us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.